I got this word for you tonight that it's so hot off the press. I just typed it. But it's an old word, really, just something that the Lord reminded me here and that He wants me to share with you. And it's going to be one of these messages that you're going to want to write these scriptures down. I'm going to give you 8 scriptures. You're going to want to write them down. You're going to want to keep them. You're going to want to study them. You're going to want to look at them. You're going to want to put them in your fridge. You're going to want to, you know, do all the things to get these things ingrained in your heart, because I want to share something with you tonight that is going to change the way you think about yourself. All right? So, here we go. First, I want you to go to the Old Testament, the Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, that met that scripture that I was preaching on Sunday about the good hand of God. And I want to show you something. Now, you know, I encourage you, if you've never read the story of Nehemiah, you need to go read the whole story. But, you know, in chapter 2 here, I was telling y'all about how Nehemiah was the cupbearer from the Lord. He wasn't a builder. He didn't seem to show anything that he had any ability to, you know, do these things. And then, yet he was the cupbearer, but he had passion in his heart. And he had, you know, a burning in his heart to go back and see his city of Jerusalem rebuilt. And it says that he goes in there and he goes to the king and then he asks for all these letters. But Nehemiah in verse 8, he makes the declaration. He says that the reason why this happened, okay, if you look down there, it says, and the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And church, you've got to realize that when you're born again, when you're saved, and you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that the hand of God is upon your life. The hand of God technically has been on your life forever. Because the Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully created in your mother's womb. He knew you before you existed. So technically, He always knew you, but His hand's always been on you. But when you're born again and you're a Christian and you're doing your best to walk with the Lord, I'm telling you, you got to understand, you need to wake up every morning and think, God, I'm thinking that Your good hand's upon my life. You're the God that's going to deliver me. You're the God that's going to keep me out of trouble. You're the God that's going to set me free. And the only thing, and let me just give you a reference over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, the only thing that can keep you really out of sorts with God is that if the enemy gets you convinced in your own heart that your relationship is broken with God. Now, the glorious thing about it is, whether you believe it or not, see, let me put it to you this way. How do you prove you're saved? I mean, give me some proof you're saved. I mean, I want to see something. I want to see some fire come out of your hand. Can you make a little cup and a ball of fire comes in there? You know, there's oil drip out of your hands. I mean, what do you got that tells you you're saved? What tells you you're saved is you know it inside of you. You know that you've been touched by the hand of God. You can't take that from you. You know, no matter what somebody tells me, aliens land outside right now. Little green men come running out and say, we're God. I don't say, oh, bull. He touched my life. He changed me. I know it's real on the inside of me, right? Well, it's the same thing about when you wake up in the morning, and if the enemy has come into your life somehow and separated you from your heavenly Father, he's done it and he's brought condemnation on your life. He's come in there and he's twisted things around, and in your heart, he's got you thinking wrong, so that you think that God's not happy with you, when the truth of the matter is, God may not be happy with you because you did something wrong, but you can repent. God's right there. And what the repentance does, it washes the yuck off of your life so you get back in your relationship with God. Right? So there's no reason why any of us should ever be walking outside of a relationship with God. No matter what's going on, you shouldn't say, oh man, I should have prayed more this morning. It looks bad today. You're either in or you're out. Y'all with me? Okay, so God's good hand is upon you. Everybody say, God's hand's upon me. His hand's upon you. God's good hand is upon you, right? Well, it's on you for a reason. So you know what he gave you? A hand. Hear what I'm saying now? What did God put his good hand on you and he gave you a hand. He wants you to do something with it. I'm going to give you 8 things you're supposed to be doing with your hands. All right? You may say, it's the craziest mess I've ever heard. It is, but I remember years ago, I was reading the book of Mark. And so we're going to start out Mark chapter 5, verse 23. And I was reading the book of Mark, and it was like it leapt off the page to me as I saw this that I'm going to share with you. As I looked at it and saw it, it's just like it just boom, it hit me. Because I can tell you that in my little Rhema notebook I have here, you know, this is on like page number 6, and it's I can hardly read it because I've smudged all the ink for so long, reading these scriptures, confessing these scriptures, declaring these scriptures, because God didn't call you just to be you. He called you to be supernatural you. Are you with me? He didn't call you just to be you. He called you to be supernatural you. Ephesians 1:3 says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in every places. You're already equipped with everything in the world you'd ever need in life. It's already in you. Whether you use it or not, it's up to you. It's like I've said before, I can do amazing things with a 12-inch crescent wrench. Things you shouldn't do. There's other tools you're supposed to use. But I can, you know, I can use it as a hammer, use it as a, you know, a wedge. I can do all kinds of things with my crescent wrench. But it's not really the best. The best is to go get the right tool for the right job. You already got every tool in you you need. It's already equipped. It's already put there. And one of the things he's stuck on you is your hands. Your physical hands. Okay? Because God makes a connection. Have you ever thought about why did Jesus lay his hand on people? Did you know that it's a medical proven fact that if a person is in a hospital and nobody touches them, that they will not get well as fast as if anybody just walks by and just puts their hand on them? That's the truth. Did you know that a baby will die? He will die if no one touches it. You took a newborn baby and you just held the bottle and nobody touched the baby and just put milk in its mouth out there, that baby will die if nobody touches it. He said, well, that doesn't make any sense. No, it's the truth. There's something in the human touch. You know, sometimes I've been around grumpy people before, and I just always say, hey, and your mama must not have held you enough. Or you didn't get touched enough in life. Something's not right, you know. But in Mark chapter 5, verse 23, is when the story of Jairus, when he came to Jesus, and he came to him, and he was begging him that he would come. And if you read it, it says he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her that she may be healed. Why? Why? Why was Jairus so convinced that if Jesus came and laid his hand on her? Did you notice it doesn't say spoke a word over? The centurion said, just speak your word and it'll be done. He was in a different place of faith, but Jairus wanted Jesus to put his hand on his daughter and then she would live. He was convinced. You got to put your hand on her. Because really, in your hand is life. Like I said, that baby won't live unless you touch it. There is life in your hand. Your hands are put on here. Yeah, they're supposed to pick up, you know, Cheetos, but they're also supposed to touch. Hello? You're touch. Listen to me. Folks, listen to me. Husbands and wives, you need to touch one another. You need to hug one another. There's power in your hand. Not lay hands on them hard, fast, and continuously. All right? It's not that five-fingered ministry I'm talking about. Hard, fast, and continuous. No. There's something in the touch. My wife, I was having kind of a bad day today, and I called her. And I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "I'm at the house." I said, "Good, stay there." She says, "Why?" I said, I need a hug. I just want to come home. I just want you to touch me. I just want your hands on me." Because it feels good. Are you with me? Okay, why? Because there's life. God put these things in your hands for there to be life. Make them hands of blessings. You know what I'm trying to, all this time on a Wednesday night, when I got this message and, you know, good gosh, you know, who knows how long, that's when I started making all of us, every Sunday morning, reach over and take the hand of the person beside you, because at least that person got touched once. That's what it's all about. That's why I do this. So that's why I say, reach over and get the person's hand next to you. Because some people never get touched. And there's life. The hand is a transference of the power and the anointing of God. I don't know why. You can speak the word. You can do that. But, you know, it didn't say, come put your foot on her and everything will be okay. Put your elbow on her and my child will come back to life. Come lick her upside the head. Are you with me? He said, go put your hand on her. All right? So the first one is that your hands have life in them. Use them for life. Second one is, just go over a chapter to Mark chapter 6. Verse 5. Now this is kind of a sad story, but it describes what I'm saying. Jesus is in his hometown, and he's wanting to lay hands on the sick. And it says he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And you know, it's written like it was a bad statement. You know what I'm saying? It's like he couldn't just lay hands on a few sick folk and got them healed. Nowadays, that would start a revival, right? But it says he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people there. I guess it don't say folk. I guess that's just coming out of me. A few sick folk. And he healed them and he marveled because of their unbelief. Maybe it was a different translation I was reading. Right? Okay, the second thing is you need to write down about, you know, Mark 6:5 is that there's health in your hands. There's life and there's health. All right? And I don't have the statistics with me, and I don't want to make them up, but it was pretty amazing. Go look it up on the internet; it's there somewhere. About a study they did, again with patients in a hospital, and they went by and they touched so many times and so many fewer times and none at all, and the progression of their health all came about by the amount of how much they got touched by the nurses. We're just talking about people that don't even know who they are. We're just talking about nurses. We're not talking about somebody going in there and laying hands on them and praying for them. We're just talking about somebody walking in there and just saying, you know, how are you doing today? And just rub their leg or rub their shoulder or touch their hand or whatever. And the ones that got touched more got healed quicker. These hands, man, I tell you, they're amazing. They're put on you to bring life and to bring health. All right? Now, go to Mark 8. Mark 8:23 says, so he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. Okay. And then the blind man saw. Okay. Mark 8:23 is saying that it was another healing. It was the blind, but there was restoration. Your hands are put on you to restore. Now, sometimes God gives you ways that you put your hand to the plow, and there's a restoration. Sometimes it's restoring your relationship with somebody that's broken. You know, one thing young people today don't do is, you know, especially young men, you know, a lot of them aren't taught to ever shake hands. You go up and meet somebody, they don't shake hands. Nowadays, most people are germaphobes. They don't want to shake hands anyway, you know, so. But There's a restoration in the shake in restoring relationships through your hands. Your hands are put on your body to bring restoration. All right? Now just take the opposite. How many things have been destroyed with hands? Abuse. Just think of it in reverse. I'm trying to tell you the positive side of it. Just think of it in reverse. How many things have been destroyed with hands? Right? Well, the same weapon God gave the enemy is just trying to turn it around for evil. Now all of a sudden it's no longer like that. Now he wants you to restore things with your hands. You got to look at yourself differently. There's so many times in life that, I mean, over my whole years of being saved, 30 years or more, that there's been times that God has told me, don't put your hand on that. And what he meant was, it wasn't like, oh, you know, you're going to get the voodoo if you do. He meant, it's the sign of my agreement. Don't put your hand on it. Don't get involved in that. Don't do that. Don't mess with that. That's not me. Hands off. Because the hand is a restorer. Here's something else. What goes in a hand? A pen. Do you realize that you can take with your hand and you can write a lovely letter and bless somebody's life? Or you can, excuse my language, this is Wednesday night, flip somebody off. Blessing one way, curse the other. Same hand. One of it has a power to write something beautiful, something sweet, something touching. The other way, it has something to do something evil. Right? The power that's in your hand. Just think about it. It's stuck on your body. It's just put it into your little fingers, man. Get a pen and write something beautiful. And restore a relationship. It's right there. Literally right in your hand. Okay, so your hands are put on you to bring life, bring health, to restore. All right? Keep on staying in Mark. Go over to Mark chapter 10. And when Jesus saw it, because the disciples were pushing the kids away, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, I'm in 10:14, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And surely I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Your hands are on you for blessing. Now, I want you to just think about this for a second. I'm kind of changing a little bit here, so just y'all get me back on straight here in a minute. You know, here Wednesday night, we're usually just home folk all here. And the biggest problem we have on Wednesday night is to stay focused and to stay hungry and not just take everything for granted. And it's called the sin of familiarity. We become so familiar with something that we take it for granted. When you come in here on a Wednesday night, it's the same on a Sunday morning, but I'm saying a Wednesday night. You come in here on a Wednesday night, and I say, well, break up and pray for somebody. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize the power that God has given you to take your hand and to put it on somebody and to bless somebody? He said, oh, well, who am I? Well, see, you already let the devil twist your tail up. I'm nobody, but I'm a vessel full of the Spirit of God, and God is somebody. I'm not, it's not, you don't want some of Robert. Right? You want some of Jesus. And if he flows through me to you, because that's what he uses, you and your hand, then you just bless that person. You didn't bless them. Jesus blessed them through you. Wow. It's like if we had a revelation of this and got our faith behind it, we'd want to lay hands on everybody. You know, y'all know this. You know, if you've been around for a while, you know that one of my favorite all-time old ministers, John G. Lake. And in one of his books, they were having plagues. You know, they don't know what it was then. It was bubonic plague or what, but they were having plagues that were killing everybody. And literally, he would walk into the villages and he would not be affected. And they literally would tell him, you know, he said, man, it can't live in me. The Spirit of God on the inside of me is too powerful. Whatever that disease is can't live in me. It can't get in me. It will die. Folks, that's a revelation. Nowadays, think about this. Is this nuts? So you know what the most dangerous animal on the face of the earth is? Kills more people every year than any animal else in the world? The mosquito. Now everybody's running around, you know, selling off, I guess, because we've got Zika now. You got Nile, West Nile, you got Zika, you got this. But malaria kills people. Sure, it's unbelievable how many people it kills. It kills millions of people a year. A little old mosquito, a little bitty old tiny thing. Now, I'm just saying, you think a mosquito is more powerful than God? Creates worlds and all that? But sometimes the God on the inside of people is just too small. They're just cutting reduced to just a little bitty bit of nothing down here. Rather than being able to say, my God, come here, let me lay hands on you. But what happens is sin of familiarity comes in our life. And we just get to taking it all for granted. We don't see ourselves as the vessels of God, the housing of God. You say, well, I don't know, I just don't know what to say. Well, just lay your hands on somebody and say, man, I bless you in the name of Jesus. That's powerful enough. Are you with me? This is the way we should be thinking of ourselves. Oh, just come here and let me put my hand on you. Who do we want to lay hands on? Are y'all with me? Because that's you. You're full of the Spirit of God. And it's just looking at some place to get discharged from, and it's your hand. Okay, so blessings. Mark 10, the blessings. Your hand can give you, can release blessings. Mark 16, next one. Mark 16, 17. Jesus, some of his last words he told us, he says, "In these signs will follow those that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Your hands are for signs and wonders, folks. You got to understand, you got to get off of your high horse thinking that you got anything to do with it. You're just a hand. You're just a hand. You're a vessel. You're just the apparatus that God chose to use to bless one another. Now, why would Jesus write and say, love one another? Because if you don't love anybody, you're not going to be close to anybody. You're not going to touch anybody. Right? If you got no neighbors, you got no friends, well, who are you going to be praying for? Who are you going to be laying hands on? I mean, the dog may appreciate it, but I mean, you know, we got to step it up. We got this crazy dog. And why? I don't know. Laura and I have not figured this out why. But at exactly 9 o'clock every night, she comes to the door and looks in the door and sits there and stares at you until you walk outside and pet her. No, you can't get her in the house. She wouldn't go in the house. You couldn't tie a rope on her and drag her in the house. That dog won't go in the house for nothing. But she stares at us until we go outside and pet her. And then after we go outside and pet her, then she goes off and does her rounds in the night and barks and does everything in the world. But she's going to be there at 9 o'clock. And sometimes she even, we've laughed because sometimes, she gets her calendar off a little, or schedule off a little bit. And she'll show up a little early and I'll look at her and say, it's not 9 yet. And then in a minute, you know, she'll walk off, she'll come back. But she likes to be petted. Well, I'm telling you what, humans like to be petted too. But we're supposed to be doing something with it. We're supposed to be releasing the power of God on the inside of them. Signs and wonders are supposed to follow. These signs, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Are y'all believers tonight? Y'all believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, then signs are supposed to follow you. But what's the sign? Grumpy? You know? Or signs and wonders? Right? I mean, it goes both ways. You got to remember there's a flip side of everything. Okay. So, through your hands are going to be life, going to be health, restoring, blessing. Okay? Mark 16, signs and wonders follow, so you're advancing the kingdom of God. Anytime you're doing what God wants you to do, anytime, whether that is just saying hello, giving somebody a blessing, whatever, the kingdom of God is then being advanced. Think of it this way. Let me put it this way. If you never touched anybody, what are your odds of anything happening? Zero, right? And if you touched one, you've upped a little bit, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. The more active you are, the more you're going to see God move and the more he can advance the kingdom of God. It's about advancing his kingdom, not your kingdom. Right? Because you're not building. If you're building your kingdom, well, then you're all wrong, you're messy, and you're up, and you're goofy, and whatever. You'd go back and start at point one and repent. But if you're just being you and you're just loving Jesus, you're going on, then you got to realize the more people you pray for, the more people you're going to see heal. If you don't ever pray for anybody, how would you see anything? The more people you're believing God for miracles in the life, or I'm just going to pray with you, or, you know, listen, folks, you can't, God just needs a crack in the door. Sometimes you just need to grab somebody's hand, say, let's just pray about that. Lord, I just thank you for healing that person in Jesus' name. And that is enough to get the crack in the door for God to go do something with. Right? And our job is to advance the kingdom of God. All right? So let me now jump out over to Acts, book of Acts, chapter 5. Let me give you these last three right quick. It says in Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord. Now, I kind of got ahead of myself there, but according to Acts 5:12, listen, God wants to do signs and wonders through you, but it's got to be, he said, listen, it wasn't that the apostles were the only ones anointed and blessed. But it was that those were who were in the forefront then. But never in the New Testament do you see a teaching that the believers weren't supposed to be laying hands on the sick and following everything that Jesus had laid out for us. And the only reason why it stops working is because people stop doing it. And I'm telling you what, it has been my experience in life Maybe I'm a freak. You know, maybe we can get to heaven, y'all, you know, Jesus will slap me. But I'm telling you, it's been my experience in life that it is not some great flamboyant prayer that made any difference. It is not that I had this, you know, could quote the Bible forwards and backwards. It was not, it was that I cared that God moved. Jesus always flows through compassion. And you'll see signs and wonders in your life coming through your hand when you have compassion about things. Compassion for people. Compassion for what's going on. Hello? The next one here. 1 Timothy 4:14. Okay, so your hands are for life, your hands are for health, your hands are for restoration, your hands are for blessing, your hands are for advancing the kingdom of God, your hands are for signs and wonders. And then it says in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Your hands are also to impart gifts. Now, there's a spiritual aspect. A spiritual application of this and a natural application. There are things that my earthly father taught me to do. And what did he use to do it? He used his hands. There's a certain amount of natural things that you can gifts you can impart to people. If you're a school teacher, teaching a child to read. Teaching somebody to do math. You're doing that. You're imparting a gift to them. Hello? But on the spiritual side of things, I really, really, really believe that you can lay hands on people and that God will impart gifts unto them. All right? Now, God usually, how do I say this? This is something that you can't just go around throwing gifts around. Oh, brother, I want to give you this gift of encouragement. It has to be directed by God. All right? But how's it going to flow? Through your hands. And you know you can't teach anybody anything you don't know. Right? How are you going to teach somebody to build a model airplane if you've never built a model airplane? Okay, the last one. Revelation 7:9. It says, and after all these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. With these hands that God gave you, put on your body, you've got to lay hold of salvation. You've got to lay hold of eternity. Do you realize, folks? The Bible says you're going to get a new body. All right? And it's not going to be an alien form. It's going to be like this one. Because there's hands, there's feet, there's you get a body. You get another body. Just a good one that doesn't get sick. And it's taller. That goes along with my voice. See, I tell you, just like those people that were here last night or last Wednesday that had listened to me on the radio for 10 or 12 years and never had seen me, the first thing they said, was we thought you'd be taller. I said, that's because the spirit on the inside of me, it is taller. Have a big, tall spirit and it comes out. And when you get to heaven, y'all aren't going to recognize me because I'm going to be the tall guy. Say, who's that? Sounds like pastor. Looks like pastor, but too tall. That's going to be me strutting down the streets to go. Because I laid hands on eternity. Folks, listen to me. Your hands are going to direct everywhere you're going. And if you want to walk in eternity, you want to walk in blessings, you got to get your hands moving and flowing in the things of the kingdom of God. Okay, so your hands will bring life, health, they restore, they're blessings, or they they're for blessing. They advance the kingdom of God. They're for signs and wonders. They impart gifts. They lay hold of eternity. So what I'm saying to y'all tonight is, I don't want you to come in here on a Wednesday night again. And when I tell you to reach that person's hand, or on a Sunday morning or whatever, and say, reach over and take that person's hand, man, you better get in to the program. I mean, you're going to be praying, you're going to be believing, man, I'm a set of jumper cables of the Holy Ghost, man. Firing them up on the left and the right, going down through their hands. You've got to, church. You've got to get that away. You can't be docile and dormant. You've got to believe something's happening. You don't have to be crazy, you know, but you can certainly lay hands on people and be a blessing. Amen? Okay, so before we quit, let's put it into practice. Find somebody there, reach over there, just get hold of somebody, put your hand on them, say a prayer over them, bless them, speak something good over them, let your hand be used as a sign and a wonder and a blessing. Just feel the power of God flowing through your hands. Feel the power of God just flowing like a river. The blessing of God. Come on, Jesus.